Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
On 93 WIBC.
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here, also joining us live in studio, WIBC News Director Chris Davis. So Chris, the probable cause document for the Delphi murders was released today. What are the big takeaways? What did we learn from these documents?
Well, essentially, it seems to outline the case against Richard Allen. And I think that's what Prosecutor Nick McClelland was trying to avoid. Doesn't want to tip off another person that he believes is involved, or people who he believes is involved. But essentially, a couple of things that really, some might say, strongly link Richard Allen to the murders. One is a bullet, an unspent round that was found in between the girls' bodies that they linked back to a gun that was owned, admittedly, by Richard Allen. Mm. They did ballistics tests and found that that unspent round had been cycled through that gun. So it was not fired, but it had been cycled through that gun that he had owned since 2001.
The other thing we found out in this document that was released today was that the authorities had interviewed Allen a number of times.
Yeah, they had interviewed him. I mean, back in 2017 was the first time. And then a detective remembered this guy and goes and tells state police again this year in October. And they go and re-examine what they had found out from him back then. He talks about being on the trail, as you can read in the probable cause document that's on the 93 WIBC Facebook page right now. He talks about having been on the trail that day. He talks about having seen several females on the trail, even describes them in that initial interview, but says nothing, of course, about the murders. But again, when detectives investigated this again in October, they determined that, they believe that Richard Allen was the man in that creepy down the hill video.
Yeah. So tell me more about this bullet. That just because there is a bullet that was found that was traced back to a gun that was owned by Richard Allen, just because there was a bullet found in between the bodies, that does not, they did not release a manner or cause of death.
Exactly.
Right?
They have been tight-lipped, yes, about that all along, and this document doesn't give an exact manner or cause of death. So even though there was a bullet found there, and some might think that would lead you to believe that they were shot, they do not say that.
At one point in this 8-page released affidavit, if you want to call it that, we see that there were some things captured on the cell phone from one of the victims. Of course, we've got the still shot, we've got the down the hill, but at some point, and this is audio that we've never heard before, someone says gun.
Yeah, one of the girls says gun. Mm. There's not a lot, a lot of people were saying initially there's got to be more to that video. Maybe the whole murder's on the video. But according to this document, there's not a whole lot more to the video. That the girls started taking the video when they, one of the girls noticed this guy behind them. And that one of the girls says gun, and then you hear down the hill, and then the video stops shortly after that.
Does Richard Allen offer an explanation as to the bullet?
No, he offered no explanation.
And his wife was also interviewed during this, yes, process as well. And she admits that, yes, he's got guns, he's got knives, and he owns the outfit that we've seen in that still photo, but that was pretty much all the information that she was willing to provide.
Why did the judge decide to unseal this?
Well, think? I think the judge has a completely different attitude than the original Carroll County judge. This judge is coming at it from a different point of view, from a different part of the state, and was brought in essentially because the original judge recused himself. That was, you remember when he recused himself, mm-hmm, he had this kind of diatribe that he went on about people having a bloodlust for the case. So this judge was brought in, Fran Gull, and Fran Gull just goes at it from a different point of view. Some people have pointed out that Judge Gull seems to err more on the side of transparency.
Now, the defense team for Richard Allen, in addition to this 8-page affidavit that was released today, they're requesting a change of venue as well.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because, I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock to never have heard of the Delphi case.
Sure.
For the past 6 years. And so they're saying that he can't get a fair trial in Carroll County or anywhere within a 150-mile radius. I think some people might say, you know, the pretrial publicity has been everywhere. I mean, you guys have had folks from the Murder Sheet podcast on this show. That's just one of many podcasts that are talking about this thing constantly. And then, of course, there is the mainstream coverage by, you know, ABC, CBS, Fox News, all of these outlets. As soon as the arrest was made, all of them were all over it.
What do you think of the, well, is there any update on the gag order that was requested by the prosecution?
No update yet on the gag order.
And that just means everybody shuts up about this that's involved. So,
yeah,
like,
so
look, no more having
Doug Carter
be able
to come
studio.
On.
Anything.
You know, and that was, you know, it's kind of funny that right after he was on the show, that's when the gag order request happened.
Chris Davis is our news director here at 93 WIBC. One more thing here. Reading through this affidavit, again, it's 8 pages. A lot of information's been redacted, but it seems like there's some video and the vehicles of Richard Allen that also place him being at that area where the two girls were murdered.
Now, we live in an age where there's video everywhere. I mean, you're talking about a rural area here. You're thinking, you know, there won't be very much video out there, but there are some buildings out there, a store. And so they do have video. They have witnesses saying that they saw a small car. They describe a smart car. But state police say maybe this was the Ford Focus that was in the video that is owned by Richard Allen.
All right. More information, where can we get it at?
WIBC.com and the document on the WIBC Facebook page.
Chris Davis, news director. Thank you.
Well, I don't know, Hammer. I mean, the bullet found between the bodies, and Richard Allen has no explanation as to why that bullet, who was traced back to a gun that he has, that owns, is raising some eyebrows to me. I'm trying to decide if I'm overwhelmed or underwhelmed here with the release of these documents.
And Richard Allen admits in this document today that, yes, I was there. I was on that, you know, bridge area, but I did not remember, you know, interacting with any, you know, juveniles. He claims he was looking at stock tips on his phone. Now, maybe this is just me being judgmental here, but when I look at Richard Allen, I don't think stockbroker. Could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm being completely judgmental.
You're being very judgmental. I think you have every right to be judgmental. But he also said that you know, some of the clothing that was depicted in that video, the jacket, the boots, you know, he owns, you know, those same style of clothing.
Right.
If I'm reading this correctly.
Right.
Which is all circumstantial, but the bullet being traced back to a gun that he owns is really, really wild.
And what's interesting to me as well is when we had Doug Carter in studio, and then when that press conference took place, the prosecution made it sound like they're pretty confident there may be somebody else involved.
Yes.
The information released today doesn't make that case at all. Hmm. So we're not saying that somebody else isn't involved. Very often what you see with these predators, these child porn predators.
Network.
It's like a network. You're right. So that was the other eye-opening thing that I caught today. And again, you can read the affidavit for yourself. We've got it posted at WIBC.com.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show on 93 WIBC.
Yeah, Hammer, much more at the top and bottom of every hour. Everything you need to know about the judge in the Delphi case releasing the contents of that sealed affidavit, what we did and did not learn, more on the way from the WIBC newsroom. I'm very proud of myself, Hammer. I stayed up for the entire Colts game last night. I did not fall
asleep. Good for you.
Late start for me.
Because normally you're a kind of guy that, I would say goes to sleep, but the correct term is passes out.
Hold on.
At about 8:30.
Let's not start making accusations. It's at 9:30 usually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What an awful game. Just they lost to the Steelers prime time. What was it, 24-17?
And just a gross
game. I know they kind of fought their way back there a little bit towards the end, but didn't really pan out the way we thought or wanted to.
No yards in the first quarter. No completed passes. No first downs in the first quarter.
Did you say no yards in the first quarter?
When you look at the team yards, I believe it was negative because they had a couple sacks, and it was just such a gross game. Like, I understand that my favorite teams are going to lose games from time to time. I get it. But at least be fun and entertaining, right? That's why we watch sports. We want a little break from reality. We want to be entertained. We want to see the best athletes in the world compete. But when you watch a Colts game right now, it just sucks the life out of you.
It's miserable watching that offensive line compete. And the penalties on the two rookies up there, they were just, you know, man downfield. Oh, that penalty drives me nuts. How are you an offensive lineman and not realize? I mean, that's one of the most basic ones. Like, holding, I think, would be the most common one. Holding for an offensive lineman is probably the most common and hardest to overcome. And we've talked to offensive linemen before about, like, those kinds of penalties.
They say you can call it on every play.
Yeah, exactly. But the illegal man downfield, that's unless I'm wrong, unless I'm missing something, that's pretty obvious.
And let's not forget the real reason why the Colts are 0-2 the last 2 weeks under Jeff Saturday. That's after an amazing first week inspirational win against the Raiders. Yeah. Ever since Matt Ryan put that stupid turtleneck and blazer on in the post-game press conference, the team has not been the same.
I was taking a drink of my Monster when you said that. I'm sorry. I did not think the turtleneck was coming out.
That damn turtleneck and blazer, 0-2 since that thing, that monstrosity came out.
Oh. And Matt Ryan's bringing the turtleneck back.
No, he's not. No, how about bringing first downs back? Let's just start there, and then we'll work our way up to fashion. Start on first downs, and then we'll work on fashion.
Oh, man.
But, man, it wasn't just the line yesterday.
Wow.
The quarterback play was bad. You had tight ends dropping passes all night long. Like, when you watch that game on television, it was like Troy Aikman was doing a Comedy Central roast on Matt Ryan last night.
I mean, there was, again, with this Colts team, I feel like there are flashes of brilliance. There's quick hits of spectacular plays. I mean, Pittman had a couple great catches. That last game, what's the rookie's name? Pierce, the wide receiver? That kid,
yes.
Pierce, just had some had a couple amazing catches in a row. But overall, the experience is quite different.
And it feels like we're wasting Jonathan Taylor's prime. Like, Jonathan Taylor is a bad dude, right? He's the corn pop of this squad, and they're wasting his prime. And listen, if we're going to be completely transparent here, we would do this if it's Frank Reich. You got to do it if it's Jeff Saturday. That clock management down the stretch was awful. You took two timeouts into the locker room at the end of the game. How's that working out for you?
Screw those timeouts.
Screw those timeouts.
I don't need those timeouts. I'm not taking any damn timeouts.
Like, kids playing Madden have better clock management than that.
I was watching the post game afterwards. He said, look, they were in a groove. The play calling, really? Is that what he said?
Here, take a listen.
Okay.
I thought we had plenty of time. I wasn't really concerned. We still had timeouts, so I wasn't too concerned. I really wanted, when he was going down, I couldn't tell where they were going to start him from going down, right? Like, if he was going to get the first down, and then we got there. I expect us to get on the ball and have another play a little bit quicker than that. But again, this wasn't a press for time. We just didn't make enough plays.
Yeah. Maybe. Rookie coach, maybe just get that timeout in there just to make sure all your ducks are in a row, so to speak.
And why doesn't Matt Ryan, you're the seasoned veteran, you used to be an MVP of this league, take matters in your own hands, call it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to do the right thing.
You can't
on this
override
team.
The coach, though, can you?
I tell you what, man, if that game wasn't bad enough, then I kind of got fired up on social media because, you know, kind of being
happened?
A smart ass at one point. I think it was 13-0 the Steelers. Colts had negative yards in the first quarter, and I posted on my personal Facebook page, what time does the Pacers game start? And I got some 20-year-old numbnuts giving me a lecture. You're not a real fan. If you want to turn the game off now, you're not a real fan.
Whatever.
Listen, kid. Let me tell you something right now. The amount of bad football these eyes have watched as a Colts fan, okay, you don't get to tell me anything. Because I was 7 years old when this team moved to Indy from Baltimore. Yeah. I remember the Mike Pagel days. I remember Chris Chandler. Until this guy can tell me who Art Schleister is, you don't get to tell me about my fandom, right? 1990 and 1991. If you grew up with just the Peyton Colts, sit the conversation out for the crusty old veteran like me, who have watched a lot of bad football, kid. Oh, it just drove me nuts.
I was right there with you. After the first quarter, flipped over the DVR, turned on Tucker, and watched the opening monologue, kind of flipped back and saw, I think the running back scored as soon as I turned back over. So I thought things maybe were turning around a little bit. But I was right there with you. I was like, all right, what else is on? What am I missing? Maybe the
This is a tweet from Nigel. Last night at 9:10 p.m. I hope Pittsburgh wins by 50.
Wait a minute. That wasn't even, was that going into halftime?
I believe that was early in the second quarter. Angry Nige texts are my favorite.
I didn't know you were going to release the private contents of my personal private text messages to you and Rob Kendall.
If there was a silver lining yesterday, though, it's that the Pacers had a big win last night. Now, that's a fun team to watch. Good young talent. The veterans are working with the young guys. Pacers beat the Lakers at the buzzer last night. A rookie, Andrew Nembhard of Gonzaga, hit the game-winning three right in LeBron's face. Like, it couldn't have been scripted any better. Like, his hand went up and all you saw was LeBron's bald spot and hair plugs coming at him. And this is what it sounded like with Mark Boyle on the call from the Pacers radio network.
Halliburton to inbound from the far side. He'll flip it to the top. Turner is wide open, but he missed short with a three. Rebound Halliburton. 3 seconds to go. Drives to the wing. Nembhard beat the clock. And it's over! Nembhard beat the clock with a three from out on the left edge as time expires. The call on the floor is good, and the Pacers are mobbing Nembhard.
I was watching Twitter that final sequence, and it just so happened to line up with what we were playing right there. Amazing call from Mark Boyle. He's the best.
The best. And I want to give a shout out to the TV guys, too, because I want to hear it from the TV guys as well. This is Chris Denary and Quinn Buckner.
Miles Turner. Three. Gamer. Oh, my. Long rebound. Halliburton.
Hold on. He held on it too long.
Nembhard away.
Yeah, baby.
Got it. The rookie of Gonzaga hits the three at the buzzer to win the game.
Baby.
Love it.
What a drop it. Oh, how cool is that?
So that was Denary.
Yeah, and Chris Denary and Quinn Buckner on the call on TV.
Incredible. All right, so it ended up being a good night after all.
Yeah, Pacers, man, that's a fun squad
now,
to watch.
Did you make it up all night for that? Did you stay up the entire game?
Oh, no,
okay,
no.
That's a West Coast game, 3 hours behind.
I fell asleep, I think, in the third quarter in that game, which was probably around 12, 15-ish.
You sound a little gruff.
Dude, I don't know what I got. This is BA5 or what I got.
Well,
here.
I hope it's not BA5.
But we're fighting a little bit of a voice issue. There was some angry yelling last night at some points of that football game. Okay. Don't worry about it. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
To the Hammer and Nigel Show on 93 WIBC.
So Elon Musk said Apple is threatening to pull Twitter from its app store. Big surprise. Elon Musk, of course, owns Tesla. He's the new owner of Twitter. Very controversial because he's actually letting people back onto the platform and letting people voice their own opinions. And it's here we again have big tech possibly threatening to pull from the entire platform a social media outlet that what happened with Parler? The same thing, right? Donald Trump gets kicked off Twitter. And then he goes to the Parler. This was before Truth Social.
Right.
And immediately big tech pulls the rug out from under that platform, doesn't allow them on Apple, doesn't allow them on Google or whatever, and just kills.
No servers.
No server, and just killed that social media outlet all because of things people were saying.
These people are scared to death of an even playing field. And stop with the whole garbage of, well, they're just going to let terrorists and white supremacists on here. All right, fine. The Ayatollah is out here tweeting right now and has been since 2009, and nobody said a damn word about it. You guys are fine with that. Which, by the way, the fact that you can send a DM to the Ayatollah, his DMs are open. Like, if you find the Ayatollah's Twitter account, you can totally troll the Ayatollah by sending him a DM.
We should send him a message and ask him who the new Colts head coach should be after the season. Just like random questions to the Ayatollah.
Right. Okay. I'm in. But because, you know, Donald Trump was allowed to come back, and mind you, he hasn't even tweeted yet.
Sure.
He was allowed to come back. And some of these other folks, they don't have complete control. It drives them insane. So to recap, the political left, well, you should just build your own Twitter. So they built Parler. And then Apple pulls Parler from the App Store. Elon Musk buys Twitter. And now Apple is threatening to pull Twitter.
Same thing. They've definitely, Elon Musk, one of the things he was saying is that Apple has diminished or completely all but pulled their advertising
right
from Twitter. So that's, again, big tech colluding with the left and the progressives, just like the Hunter Biden laptop story. They all admitted it. I can't wait for Elon Musk to expose what Twitter did with that Hunter Biden laptop story before the 2020 election.
I want the algorithms released. Let us know what the algorithms were of how you were censoring certain conservatives, but lifting up some of these ridiculous lunatics on the left. I want to see the algorithms released. Now, the White House, this should make you feel good. Okay. They say they're keeping a close eye on Twitter.
I mean, are you concerned about the, you know, Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
So, look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And look, We have always been very clear, and that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action, that they continue to take action. Again, we're all keeping a close eye on this. We're all monitoring what's currently occurring. And we see it with our own eyes of what you all are reporting, and just for ourselves, what's happening on Twitter. But again, social media companies have a responsibility to prevent their platforms from being used by any user to incite violence, especially violence directed at individual communities.
If it's the social media platform's responsibility to watch over that aspect of what KJP was talking about, why does the White House have to keep an eye on it? Like, look, this is a free country, a social media platform. We have bigger things to worry about than what somebody's posting on Twitter. It's their responsibility. That's our, beyond that, we don't have a comment.
How about you keep an eye on China?
Yeah, exactly.
How about you keep an eye on what's happening at the border and with fentanyl and what's happening in our schools? Keep eyes on that and maybe just pump the brakes a little bit on being concerned what the evil spaceman is doing with the social media app. Now, Kevin McCarthy, potential House Majority Leader, he had some response to the White House saying they're going to keep a close eye on it.
That is offensive to me. Government's going to go after someone who wants to have free speech? What do they have to look at Twitter about? Do they want to go more after American public about whether they can have an opinion on something? I think the American public have spoken on this. I think our First Amendment stands up, and I think they should stop picking on Elon Musk. You know, Elon Musk has succeeded in many places. I'd bet on him more than government going after you. And one thing I would say when we talk about accountability, we'll no longer let government go after people simply because of their political views.
Biden's creepy. The White House spokes, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre's just a weirdo. And saying, yeah, we're going to keep it. We got our eyes on you. That's straight up China BS.
Right.
Right there.
And again, your eyes should be elsewhere.
Your eyes should be on China.
Right.
And not a private company.
Here's Ron DeSantis.
Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from the App Store because Elon Musk is actually opening it up for free speech and is restoring a lot of accounts that were unfairly and illegitimately suspended for putting out accurate information about COVID. That's like one of the main things that's being reinstated. So many things these experts were wrong at, and you had people on Twitter that were calling that out. And Twitter, the old regime in Twitter, their response was to try to just suffocate the dissent. And Elon Musk knows that's not a winning formula, and so he's providing free speech. And so if Apple responds to that by nuking them from the App Store, you know, I think that that would be a huge, huge mistake, and it would be a really raw exercise of monopolistic power that I think would merit a response from the United States Congress.
Yeah, and by the way, Apple operates in China. So they know firsthand what it's like to suppress dissent. They learned it from the best. They own and operate factories in China, slave labor. Uyghur Muslims, all these, the COVID lockdown protests right now. Apple knows firsthand what can happen if things get out of control. That's why, again, trying to suppress dissent. They learned it from the best.
We're going to keep a close eye on Twitter. How about you keep a close eye on this cryptocurrency scandal?
Oh, there's that, yeah.
Because we've got that going on as well. This weirdo with a white man afro needs to be brought to justice here. And crypto as a whole. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I understand every single thing about it, but I'm seeing a lot of deaths related to it.
Really?
And that's really weird. So this Russian billionaire was killed in a helicopter crash in the latest crypto mystery death. The helicopter crashed in perfectly good weather, and this was after the other passengers reportedly canceled last minute.
So who was this guy?
He's some Russian billionaire, 53-year-old crypto billionaire.
Crypto billionaire.
Okay. He's the third cryptocurrency entrepreneur to die unexpectedly in recent weeks.
Oh, where's the tinfoil hat?
Listen, I don't understand everything about, you know, what's going on with cryptocurrency, but I know people are dropping dead left and right, and that weirdo with the white man afro, we call it a whaffro, is somewhere living it up, hijacking people's money, and that sucks. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show on 93 WIBC.
Coming up after 4 o'clock, everything you need to know about how the judge in the Delphi case releasing the contents of that sealed affidavit, what we did not learn, more on the way from WIBC. Hammer, do we have a score, an update on the World Cup Iran v. USA?
It is 1-0, United States.
I'm sorry, it's 1-0. Come on, you got to use soccer speak.
Well, if we're going to be a-holes about it, it's Iran.
Wait a minute.
Iran.
You're going to tell me, you're going to preach to me about my pronunciation of Iran?
Yes.
No.
Because there was a U.S. soccer star that got a lecture on this yesterday. Tyler Adams, he's the captain of the U.S. men's national team. He got called out by this journalist from Iran that he was saying the name of the country wrong.
You're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people on its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years. Are you okay to be representing the U.S.? Meanwhile, there's so much discrimination happening against black people in America.
Imagine getting a social justice lecture from Iran.
They throw homosexuals off tops of buildings in Iran. Well, I'm sorry, Iran. Screw them. I'm saying Iran.
Iran.
I'm saying like I grew up in Lisbon, Indiana. Iranians. Iran. Yeah, you're going to lecture me about racism? You're one of the biggest state sponsors of terror in the world, if not the biggest.
And TMZ had a story earlier today that said, you know, if these soccer players from Iran don't beat the United States, they could face some consequences, to say the least, when they get back home. Like, this is some third world country kind of stuff going on here. Like, I kind of feel bad for these soccer guys from Iran because that's a lot of pressure.
Well, I'm assuming they've been coached on how to respond to that propagandist reporter for, you know, you listen to this guy's response. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, this was the response from Tyler Adams to that planted, you know, reporter from Iran.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures and kind of assimilate into different cultures, is that in the U.S., we're continuing to make progress every single day. You know, growing up for me, I grew up in a white family with an obviously an African-American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very, very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So, you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that. And obviously it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important. Like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So, yeah, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
He's a lot nicer than I would have been. You're going to sit here and lecture me on oppression and racism and human rights? You're Iran. Talk to me more about Hamas. Tell me more about how much money you've given that terrorist organization. Tell me more about being one of the biggest state-sponsored things in the world. Like, honestly, in the world, Iran, one of the biggest state sponsors of terror that we've ever seen, and you're going to sit there and ask me some sort of condescending question about racism, and then also try to have some sort of superiority over me because I pronounced the name wrong? Oh, dear Lord, Hammer. That is, he's a lot nicer than you and I would have been, I think.
So I've got my message getting ready to be sent to the Ayatollah Khomeini here. Again, his DMs are open on Twitter. And there's an American one that's translated, and there's the one that's written, you know, okay, in Arabic. I'm on the American one, and this is my message. Tell me if you think this works. I think it's short, and I think it's to the point. Suck it. P.S. Can I be called the Ayatollah of Beach Grove? I'm curious to see if the Ayatollah would be willing to say, you can be called the Ayatollah of Beach Grove.
You would get a lecture from that Iranian reporter that was asking those questions. You would get such a finger wagging.
Sent. And now we wait. If I don't make it to work tomorrow, it's not because I've got some sort of thing going on with my throat. It's because I've been killed by the Ayatollah. You sent me this story earlier, and listen, I'm a simple man, but when I see headlines like this, I'm willing to go the extra mile to make it happen. Free McDonald's for life?
Yeah, it's what you could have if you get that McDonald's McGold card.
McGold card. How do I get a McGold card?
I think it has something to do with app. Every order, like over $1 on the McDonald's app, which we use in our family sometimes. Maybe on the weekends, we treat the kids a little McDonald's breakfast. Get on that app. I mean, we're not advertising. I don't think they're sponsors of the show or anything. But, you know, you should show up and they'll do this contest. And if your name gets drawn, your name gets picked, if you order at least $1 off the app, then you could very well get free McDonald's for life twice a week.
So this is like a Willy Wonka's contest for old fat guys like
three
me.
Three winners will be awarded the McGold card.
Dude.
Like, Willy Wonka for fat guys.
It is. Like, this is it. This is everything that I've wanted right here, man. I don't need my 24-hour McDonald's buffet that I've dreamed about. If I have the McGold card, man, that's fantastic. All right, Marcus Bailey, meteorologist, Wish TV, and more on the Delphi investigations coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters
are weirdos? On 93 WIBC. So let's
rock it. Hello. My name is Nigel. Hammer's right over there with a very special guest on the drivehubler.com hotline.
Marcus Bailey is a meteorologist with our news gathering partners at Wish TV 8. Marcus, we were just watching the end of the USA-Iran World Cup match here, so we've got that as some good news for us. The USA gets the dub. Pacers look good. We get a dub with them last night. We're not going to talk about the Colts game. That's dead to me. But for me personally, you know me, I'm also a weather nerd, and we're going to get like all the seasons in 24 hours here in Indiana. Great. We're going to get wind, and we're going to get you know decent temperatures and cold weather. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, probably in less than 24 hours. I mean, temperatures are, you know, 50s, some lower 60s. We've got some rain around. I've noticed the winds are kind of picking up here. It's just going to be huge kind of next 12 hours of change. Mild, windy. I think it actually will get a little more windy here, guys, as we go through the evening and overnight. I think that's going to be kind of the big story. We could see gusts maybe getting up to around 50 miles per hour late tonight.
Whoa, did you say 50? 5-0?
5-0. Yeah, so there's a wind advisory for all of central Indiana because of that.
Man, and I just got the blow-ups up. We got the Christmas decorations out. We got the blow-ups up.
Is it a reindeer or a Christmas tree that's a blow-up?
Oh, we got Santa. We got snowmen. We got reindeer. They're all up. And now Marcus is telling me it's going to be 50-mile-an-hour damn winds tonight.
Listen, when you go out there and you got those blow-ups and they start flying away, just make sure you put your hand over your heart and sing the national anthem.
That's Christmas Vacation reference. I love it.
So are we going to get any severe weather out of this thing? Because there have been some tornado warnings at various places in the country. Are we going to get any of that?
So we're connected to that, but we're kind of on the northern edge. It's a lower end threat. I don't want to dismiss it. We're going to get some thunderstorms. Basically, this whole wind machine is getting cranked up because we have a huge difference in temperatures from where we're at now to when you wake up tomorrow morning. It's a big cold front. And so kind of the window we're thinking is probably around 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. when this cold front triggers some thunderstorms. So I think there's a potential that we could have a severe thunderstorm warning or two. Any threat is going to be a wind threat, a damaging wind threat from any thunderstorm. A tornado threat is low, if not zero, in central Indiana. So we won't be dealing with what they're dealing with down in Mississippi, where it could be kind of an outbreak type of day. But again, just be aware of it. We don't get severe weather very often in November, especially late November, and especially because it'll be happening late tonight. Just kind of keep your guard up there.
Are the decorations out at the Bailey household? Do you have the blow-ups out in the front yard, the Christmas tree?
So the outdoor decorations are not. Indoor decorations have been done for a while. I've been holding off, and there's I'll have a day here, and then it's Sunday was miserable, wet, windy. Yeah. Today is warmer but windy. I'm not putting them up today. It'll be too darn cold the next couple of days. I'll get to it eventually. It may be the day before Christmas, but one of these days.
Can I make a confession?
Please.
My wife and I, in terms of outdoor illumination, we cheated. We delivered up some cash and had a guy come out.
Okay, but at least you're doing it, though.
I'm ashamed to say. It's nothing extensive. It's just along the top of our house along the way, but it was still a good, decent dollar amount. But I've never done anything like that before, and I don't have a ladder that reaches that high. I don't have an extension ladder. So.
And you're not going to get on a ladder. You're Tony Katz. I'm not getting on a ladder.
All right, so you guys aren't shaming me then. All right, I thought I was going to get shamed for paying somebody to come up
and put up
a little lighting.
Listen, I'm with you. I don't have a ladder that goes that high. I have zero interest in going up to the peak of my the second floor of my house. I mean, if I'm doing it, it's literally around my porch. And that's about it. It's pretty pathetic. Everybody else goes all out in our neighborhood, and then there's just us where there's it's like I wadded up some lights, threw them in the corner, and plugged them in.
I feel bad for Marcus because we can use the excuse of, I'm just going to wait till the weather gets a little bit better. When you're the meteorologist at a major TV station, that excuse doesn't fly. You know when the weather's going to be, and you have to get your butt outside sometimes.
Well, and that's where I got to be extra careful, because if this dummy goes up on a ladder when there's 50-mile-per-hour winds and I fall over... Yeah, the headline on which TV, how's that going to play out? Morning meteorologist hurts himself with a 50-mile-per-hour wind on the ladder.
So what's a little timeline for this wind gust that we're talking about here, Marcus? Give us a breakdown.
So here's the thing. So I think these will increase as this front approaches. I think the cold front's probably going to move through around midnight here in the metro. So that's going to be kind of the peak of the winds, where we'll reach up close to that possible wind gust of 50 miles per hour. They'll kind of gradually diminish during the overnight, but look, I think it's still probably in the range of 35 to 45 overnight. And even when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're probably looking at 30 plus for wind gusts. So it doesn't really ease up much. Just the real bad stuff is going to be kind of where we have that severe weather, time frame, 9 p.m., 3 a.m., where it could get real, real rough in that 50 plus. But it's still going to be pretty windy, at least for the next 24 hours.
Marcus Bailey, meteorologist for Wish TV 8. Marcus, as always, we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Marcus.
So these COVID lockdown protests in China, this is a big story.
It's huge. I love seeing it, actually. I love seeing people fight back, although I don't know how much progress they're going to make, how much influence they're going to have. They don't. I mean, China doesn't have a Second Amendment. They can't fight back. They don't have guns in China where you could fight back against a tyrannical.
The government has tons of stuff.
Well, so the government, sure, but the citizens don't have any way to really fight back against a tyrannical, oppressive regime like China. But God love them. I mean, China's got this policy, two and a half years, 3 years running of strict zero COVID. And then if there's even one case that, you know, that you lock the entire city down or at least lock, you know, seal people up in their apartment buildings with, you know, they weld the steel doors shut. Like what happened in a Uyghur Muslim apartment building, a fire broke out, killed dozens.
And that's kind of what really spawned more of these protests here. And it's put the Biden White House in a really interesting position because you know how much they hate to criticize China. They are scared to death of criticizing China.
Not only that, but Fauci and the crew loved what China was doing in the very beginning with the lockdowns. They modeled, they wanted to, what was happening in China in 2020. They modeled everything that's going on now after what they recommended to Donald Trump in 2020 to do.
Here is John Kirby being asked about the protests in China.
Ugh, that guy.
I'm wondering, what is the president's reaction when he hears protesters in China chant freedom or Xi Jinping step down?
The president's not going to speak for protesters around the world. They're speaking for themselves.
So there's no reaction?
These protesters are speaking for themselves. What we are doing is making it clear that we support the right of peaceful protest.
All you have to do is say, yeah, the government interfering with your life is bad. That's all you got to say. But they can't do it. They're incapable of doing it because they carry the water for these people.
I was going to say, it's like, yeah, these draconian, they're welding people shut into their buildings without any food or access to medicine or water. Of course there's going to be protests. Yes, we're with them. And we think what China's doing is serious human rights issues. At the very least, say that.
John Kirby again speaking, and I think this is Peter Ducey of Fox asking him the question.
So just to follow up, John, on the China issue, why is the White House's line that everybody has the right to peacefully protest and not the U.S. thinks it's bad to lock people up in their houses to stop COVID?
Yeah. We've made it clear, Peter, that a lockdown is not a policy that we're going to support here. We've come a long way over these last 3 years, hard to believe 3 years, in terms of treating COVID and preventing COVID. So we've said, you know, a lockdown is not a policy that we support here.
It was.
But obviously there are people in China that have concerns about that, and they're protesting that, and we believe they should be able to do that peacefully.
And the thing is that it's not just Democrats. You have guys like Eric Holcomb that were more than happy to lock you down and keep you out of your business.
Everybody's so scared to criticize China, walking on eggshells. You know, it's pretty easy to criticize people on the front lawn of the governor's mansion that just want to work, that don't want anything but the right to go back to work. Yeah, you can call them all the names you want, including Petri dish. But boy, you are walking on eggshells when it comes to China and their oppressive, draconian COVID lockdowns that continue 3 years later.
They're real good at bashing Elon Musk and Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But hot damn, don't you dare say a word about China. Is This Anything Next?
Hammer and Nigel presents
Is
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is This Anything?
On 93 WIBC.
Hammer, how do we play? Is This Anything?
I'll run some stories by you. You break down all the stories. You break down all the information.
Okay.
And you tell us if it's anything or not. Dateline Florida. A Florida police officer who doesn't know how to swim put her life on the line by jumping into a retention pond to grab a drowning baby.
Wow.
Pulling the child to land and giving CPR. Here's some of the body cam audio of Officer Sanderson saving this child's life.
Where's the baby at? Where's the baby? Hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Put him down! on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
That is dramatic audio if I've ever heard it.
Wow.
Police officer body cam footage of the officer jumping into a retention pond.
And she doesn't know how to swim.
Whoa. Okay, I have a question, and I'm glad everybody's okay. The baby's okay. The officer's obviously a hero, but what do you think... I'm not criticizing law enforcement here, but wouldn't you think that's a requirement to be a law enforcement officer? Is you got to know how to swim, especially living in Florida, around, you know, depending on where you live. If you don't live inland, you live near coastlines, the Gulf, hurricanes. You don't think that'd be a requirement to know how to, that kind of confuses me a little bit, doesn't you?
But clearly it's not a factor because this woman didn't know how to swim and she still saved the day.
I understand. So she risked her life and that's what officers are paid to do. But you can mitigate certain things, like in case you ever have to jump into a retention pond, you might want to know how to swim. But she's a hero. And that was some intense audio right there. One of my worst fears. I was getting caught in, getting in a wreck and diving into a retention pond or some sort of creek where I can't get out and the car is slowly filling up with water.
All right. Now we need to talk about this because how many worst fears do you have?
Oh,
I thought your worst fear was being dragged to the bottom by a shark.
By a great white. That's one. Yes.
Being mauled to death by a bear.
Yeah, that's two. Bear, lion, cougar, whatever.
Johnny Cougar. Being mauled by Johnny Cougar.
Being beat up by Johnny Cougar or his sons. That's some of my worst fears.
I really want to make sure people start calling him Johnny Cougar again.
No, like, you got to see him on the side of the Cougs. Cougs. Don't even call him Cougar. Cougs, what's up, man?
You see him at an IU game or something. Just go up, give him a fist bump. Cougs.
Do it as he's sitting for the national anthem. Cougs, stand up, Cougs. Hey, get on Cougs. Your feet.
Cougs, stand up. Okay. On a lighter law enforcement note, a New Hampshire man says that his car was stolen while he was warming it up with the keys in the ignition and nobody inside the vehicle.
It happens.
Here is Mike McCormick explaining what happened and his efforts to get back into the vehicle.
And all of a sudden, I hear a click, and I look outside, and my car's gone. It's just gone. I've been contacting the cops every few hours to see if there's any updates, and there just hasn't been any updates. So I just have to wait now. It's just a waiting game.
Really? You've been contacting the cops every few hours? Officer Johnson, hello. Hey, just see if you guys got any leads on my he's like Big Lebowski. Like, I love how this guy went all Big Lebowski on the cops, basically asking him if they had any leads on his stolen car.
Are you gonna find these guys, or, you know, I mean, you got any promising leads or
leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They got four more detectives working on the case. The gun is working in shifts.
Leads.
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 That's exactly what those officers in New Hampshire are saying every time that moron calls. Hey, you guys find my car yet? It leads?
Leads.
Leads. We got guys working in shifts.
So good.
Oh, man.
Like, when I laugh, I start to cough, and I'm trying not to.
Oh, I want you to start coughing. I want you to go into a fit.
Hearing that guy's voice just reminded me of Big Lebowski.
Yeah. I've been calling down at the precinct every few hours. I don't have any leads on my stolen car.
Leads. Is this anything? There's a new viral trend where one person plays the AC/DC hit Back on Black on guitar while somebody else smashes them in the head with a frying pan.
Wait a minute. Like on beat?
Yes, on beat.
Start over. Somebody's playing Back in Black on guitar while somebody else smashes him in the head with a frying pan to the beat.
Now, it seems like the other person has some sort of protective headgear on. Listen, I could tell you about it, but let's just play the audio.
I want to hear this. Bang!
Bam!
I think the guy was wearing like a knight's helmet or something. Yeah, well, yeah, this is definitely, this is something. This is what people are doing with their free time on social media, on TikTok. I'm glad people had a lot all this time. Like, what's better? I want you to, you make the call, Hammer. What is better, this or the clothes washer set to Thunderstruck? It's a washing machine running in cycle.
And he's got a hammer and he's hitting the washing machine.
I think I like this better. What do you think? You like that better? Or
Kevin, can I hear the guy in the knight's helmet getting hit with the frying pan one more time, please? I think I like this better, to be honest with you.
All right.
I do.
Oh, man.
The Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show on 93 WIBC.
My name is Nigel, Jason Hammer, right over there. Also, on the drivehublot.com hotline, a very special guest. Guy Relford is a Second Amendment attorney and licensed firearms instructor. So, Guy, the probable cause document in the Delphi case released today. Witnesses' names were redacted. It looks like Richard Allen is likely the man seen and heard in the Down the Hill video taken on Libby German's phone just before she was murdered in 2017. At least that's what the probable cause document says. One of the other things that it says is that a 40 caliber bullet, unspent, was found between the bodies of Abby Williams and Libby German, and it was linked to ballistics tests performed at a state police lab to a pistol that Richard Allen had owned by his own admission since 2001. I'm wondering what you make of this. We don't know the cause of death. We just know that a bullet between the bodies was linked to Richard Allen. I was wondering if you could tell us more about what an unspent bullet is and ballistics and all that, those things.
Sure. And, you know, there's a lot of confusion about this. I've been watching or listening to some of the other media reports since the probable cause affidavit was released, and the media is getting a lot of it wrong, and just in terms of how ammunition works, how firearms work, and so no, I'm happy to go through that. When you're talking about an unspent round, what you're talking about is a cartridge, right? A lot of times people use the term bullet, and that's really incorrect. Bullet is the projectile. That's what comes out of the muzzle of the barrel and goes downrange and puts a hole in the target or does damage, you know, to whatever it is you're shooting at. The entire mechanism, the entire thing is called a cartridge. A bullet's just one component of that. So when they say an unspent round of ammunition, what they're talking about is a complete cartridge. But they say that ballistics and particularly extraction marks have linked that round of ammunition to the defendant's gun. And by that they mean that the round has been chambered into the gun. In other words, this is a semi-automatic. The cartridge goes into the magazine. Then you have to rack the slide of a semi-automatic that inserts a round into the chamber. Then to get that back out without firing it, you rack the slide again. You pull the slide back. The extractor, which is like a little claw inside the slide of a semi-automatic firearm, hooks onto the protruding edge of the rear of the casing of a cartridge and pulls it out. And the ejector then essentially kicks it out the ejection port of the firearm. So what they're saying is this is a round that's unfired, but it's been in the chamber of his gun. And through microscopic analysis, they've matched markings on the cartridge, the casing of the cartridge, to the actual extractor, this little claw that does its job and pulls that out when you pull the slide back, or when the gun shoots, does the same thing, kicks it out. They've matched that round, which raises some really interesting questions, which is, why would you remove an unspent round out of your gun in the middle of a crime? Typically, guys, that's going to be if the gun is malfunctioned. In other words, you pulled the trigger, the gun goes click. For whatever reason, that round didn't go off. It's what we call a misfire, where the striker firing pin hits the primer of that round. It doesn't go off. It's a bad round. Well, you got to get that round out of there. in order to put a good round in and keep shooting your gun, if that's your intent. Typically, you rack the slide, you continue to shoot. So it's typically either a loading mistake or it's a malfunction of the gun that results in an unspent round hitting the ground. And here, where we know the round was in his gun, at least according to the probable cause affidavit, that suggests to me the gun malfunctioned in some ways. That's why he had to get an unspent round out of his gun in order to get another round of ammunition into the chamber of that gun, so it then was capable of firing again.
Is that common? Is that a common thing to happen where a round becomes unspent and it comes laying on the ground? Because when I first read this, again, I'm not the two-way aficionado that you are, Guy. I thought that was really interesting, but is this pretty commonplace?
Well, not with modern factory ammunition, but see, we don't know. I mean, we don't know whether this guy reloaded his own ammunition, which is very common. This is reported to be a 40 caliber. With modern 40-day caliber ammunition, you know, it's rare, but it's not completely unusual. In fact, you know, I've run a large public range. You go talk to other folks who work at ranges, and they typically go home at the end of the day. If you're a range safety officer out, you know, working the firing line, you'll go home with a pocket full of unspent rounds from rounds that just didn't go off. And so people eject them. They end up on the ground. You pick them up, you put them in your pocket, you go home and you deal with them safely after the fact. So it's not common in terms, if I have a box of, you know, 50 rounds of ammunition that I bought at a gun store, if I have more than one misfire out of that, that's unusual. In fact, if I even have one anymore, that's really considered to be unusual. However, you know, stuff happens, and like I said, people that work at ranges, they go home at the end of the day with a pocket full of unspent rounds because of exactly this kind of thing happening.
We're speaking with the gun guy, Guy Relford, 93 WIBC, talking about the Delphi murders, the release of the probable cause affidavit today, what we've learned, the unspent bullet in between the bodies of Libby and Abby, but they did not release a cause of death. So I just want to make that clear, even though we're dealing in bullets and guns and ballistics now, they still did not release a cause of death. As a trial attorney, Guy, I mean, I know your experience in trials is mainly Second Amendment related, but
sure.
Does anything stick out to you in terms of a defense that Richard Allen's attorneys could be possibly preparing here now?
Yes, and the fact that law enforcement and the prosecutor's office continue to say that they don't believe he's the only one involved. And the argument, and it was really interesting, the argument for keeping the charging documents confidential has been that, well, you're jeopardizing our investigation if you release all this information because we don't think Richard Allen was the only one involved. Well, isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, a typical defense in a case like this is going to be, my client didn't do it, some other guy did it. And, well, here they're saying, well, we think he did it, but someone else was involved. What does that mean? And what role did multiple people play? And that's incredibly intriguing because you're essentially admitting a potential hole in your prosecution case if to say that this defendant is not the person exclusively responsible for this. Doesn't mean he's not guilty, but you're admitting someone else played a role. Well, whatever role that other person played may have diminished the role that, you know, that this defendant played. That's just extremely interesting to me, and I would be very focused on that as a criminal defense attorney. And also the idea that, you know, an unspent round on the ground, that's unusual in the sense that, one, it doesn't happen that often, as we just went through. But secondly, that's something that a criminal defense attorney can say, well, you know, anybody can go find around. If I'm friends with someone, or if I go to the shooting range with someone and I see this happen to them and they eject, you know, a misfire out of their gun, I can easily pick that up, put it in my pocket, and then use it for whatever purpose I want to later. So you may get kind of an OJ defense going here, which is somebody planted this in order to cast, guilt upon this defense. defend it, because it's unusual. It's not like it's a spent shell casing from the gun having been fired. This is an unspent round that somehow was in the gun, got it, made its way out of the gun, and landed between the victims. That's odd.
So are you questioning the veracity? How damning is the unspent round evidence in your opinion, and making the case against Richard Allen?
If it's linked to his gun conclusively, they say it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could easily have an expert come in on the other side and say, oh, no, there's some similarities here in these markings at a microscopic level between the extractor on this gun and the markings on this casing. You could have a battle of experts where somebody else comes in and says, no, this isn't conclusive at all. Similar, but not the same. But if it's conclusively linked to a gun that he owned, yeah, that's a hell of a problem to get over as a defense attorney. But there's an awful lot more to talk about, including whether another expert would dispute those ballistics.
Last thing here, Guy, before we let you go, reading through this 8-page affidavit that was released earlier today, it looked like Richard Allen's wife also spoke to the authorities and confirmed that he still has that jacket, still has the boots that we've seen in that still photograph, knives, firearms, including the specific Sig Sauer 40 caliber pistol, which they believe is the one where the round came from here. Is the testimony of Richard Allen's wife going to be something that ultimately sends him away?
Could. Sure. That happens all the time. And that's why people, you know, if you're under investigation, you know, as a criminal defense attorney, people need to realize it's your choice whether you talk to law enforcement or you don't. And a lot of times people want to be cooperative. You know, they want to, you know, deliver the message that they have nothing to hide. And I completely understand that. And they think, well, if I don't talk, then they'll think I'm guilty, or they think I'm hiding something, or I'm, you know, covering for my husband, whatever it might be. But keep in mind, when you have those conversations, just like, you know, the Miranda warnings say, everything you say can and will be used against you. And that's exactly how it works. So people need to make their own choices on how much they cooperate with law enforcement when they're under that, you know, when they're in that situation.
He is the host of the Gun Guy Show. He's also a 2A attorney and a firearms instructor. Guy Relford, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show on 93 WIBC.
Oh, yeah. My name is Nigel. Hammer's over there. Struggling a little bit over there, big guy.
Voice is going to go out at any moment.
I can tell when you went on with Rob this morning. I can immediately tell something was... And then I get to work, and I've seen you look better. I'll be honest with you. You seem to be fighting back something, and so... that's why I snuck away during the break and brought some grandpa's cough syrup.
Hooking me up here. I like that.
A shot of the brown stuff.
Oh, a little something for the throat here.
This will help ease and soothe your pains in the throat. This will make you feel better. Cheers to you.
Cheers. That is good. Did I catch a little Anderson Cooper out of you right there?
No, that was Poindexter.
No. Oh. Same thing. Boy, that's really good. I have like 9 more of those.
that'll cure you.
A guy is going viral on TikTok after claiming to have spent over $3,000 in gear at Best Buy, but refusing to spend 11 cents on a plastic bag that was offered to him.
What?
After he had already checked out. Here is Matt Plapp explaining what happened on his social media outlet.
So this is us carrying $3,200 in stuff out of Best Buy. No bag, because after we paid, we were told it's 11 cents for a bag. Okay, thanks, Best Buy.
What is Best Buy? Aldi? Aldi charges for their bags, right? When you check out Best Buy, wait, you spend $3,000 at Best Buy, they can't provide the bags unless you give them a dime?
That stinks.
I mean, that's not right, is it?
That kind of reminds me of what I told you in Vegas the other day. You make a bunch of sports books, bets, and they'll give you like 2 drink tickets. You know, like, no, that's not how this is. I just dropped like, you know, $500 here. I think you can cough over a few Miller Lights my way. I don't think that's asking too much.
It used to be like that in Vegas. But they're like 99, 2000 with my buddies and watching Pacers playoffs and sitting there playing Keno for $1 a pop. and they were just shoveling Miller Lights down our throat for free as long as we were playing Keno.
I won the money.
And now two drinks after spending $500. That's the exact same thing.
When we come back, we'll reset. A lot of stuff going on with the Delphi case, and there's a certain someone who's interested in becoming the leader of the RNC. We'll tell you who that person is when we come back.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
On 93 WIBC.
So let's rock it!
Hey, my name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is right over there. Big news today, talking about the Delphi murders. The probable cause document has been released. The judge released this. Names of witnesses were redacted. Richard Allen, likely the guy seen and heard in the quote down the hill video taken on Libby German's phone, that of course is according to the probable cause document again that was released.
Right.
Says a 40 caliber unspent bullet was found between the bodies and was linked to ballistics tests performed by a state police lab to a pistol that Richard Allen owned, which, you know, by his own admission since 2001, although he claims he doesn't know anything about it or doesn't know how the bullet got there. And I mean, those are the big takeaways today from this document, is that police now believe, yeah, this is the guy in the down the hill video. And by the way, while we're not releasing a cause of death still, we don't know how these girls died.
Right.
To this day, there was a bullet found between their bodies, an unspent bullet.
But we also found out that there is more, and we thought that this was the case. There's a little bit more on the phone of Libby German. Per the affidavit that was released today, someone, and we don't know if it was Abby or Libby, yells gun.
That's right.
Someone yells gun, and that's before the down the hill situation. So that is basically all of what came out of this probable cause affidavit. The ballistics testing claims they can link the unspent round back to a weapon owned by Richard Allen. And Richard Allen's wife admits that, yes, he's got all of those clothes that we've seen on that horrific photo, you know, of him walking the trail with the coat, yeah, well, and the hat.
He admits to being there that day between certain hours before they went missing.
Right, between 1:30 and 3:30. And there's also video that backs up where he went to the trail as well. Like, yes, a local store's video recognized his truck parking before he made his way to the trail. Now, if that wasn't enough, the defense team today from Richard Allen is requesting a change of venue because they claim that with a case like this, as high profile as it is, they're not going to get a fair shot at this thing within basically 150 miles of Carroll County.
Okay, everybody in Indiana knows about this case. Everybody, I mean, this has been a national documented case for 5 years. So I think we're fine where we're at.
Yeah, and the defense attorneys had mentioned that earlier today. They basically stated that they understand that a lot of people have heard about this case, but they think the best chance at getting a few witnesses who might not know is getting far away from Carroll County. And maybe they're right. Maybe as a defense attorney, that's the right thing to do. We all want justice, but at the same time, nobody wants a mistrial and nobody wants some sort of technicality. You want to make sure this is the guy. Now, the other thing that I thought was really interesting was when you read through this affidavit, there's nothing in there about a potential second suspect or another person involved, because that was a big talking point the last couple of weeks.
Well, the prosecution said as much when giving excuses as to why this document should not be unsealed.
Right. And that was nowhere near in this probable cause affidavit. And again, it's 8 pages. The names have been taken off. It's victim one. It's victim two. No witnesses are identified. But there are witnesses who can place Richard Allen at the trail. There's video.
He admitted being there around. He didn't admit to anything other than being there on that day between certain hours of the day. So,
yep. And that's it. A lot of people felt underwhelmed by the information that came out today. But, you know, it there's also some people that said, hey, slow and steady wins the race.
If you could tie this piece of evidence, this unspent bullet that was found in between the bodies, if you could tie that scientifically, and police say they have, to Richard Allen's gun via ballistics in the state police lab, that to me is damning evidence.
Now, we heard Guy Relford earlier when he called in. The defense team's going to say, listen, somebody could have stolen some things from my gun. Somebody could have grabbed a bullet at my house and placed it and framed me for this thing at the crime scene. Okay. You have to absolutely prove that Richard Allen was the guy, and however he killed these young ladies. It's not necessarily a shooting. They didn't mention that today.
No.
However he killed, if he did kill these young ladies, you have to be able to prove that.
Well, the other thing the defense is going to say is like, look, the prosecution already said there's a possibility that there's more than one person out here. Okay, my guy ain't it.
David on Twitter writes at us, at Hammer and Nigel. Here's a theory. The accused did not know he had a round in the chamber when he chambered one and ejected one. So, again, a lot of speculation right now. We still have a lot of questions about what's going on. But I think, if anything, you can 100% place Richard Allen at the scene of the crime. Now, whether he's the murderer or not, we don't know. So, we talked about the RNC, the Republican National Committee. They have a leader named Ronna McDaniel. There's a lot of people, myself included, that feel like maybe it's time for a change.
We've had her on the show several times.
Right. But if you look back at this midterm election, you had a lot of things to work with here. You had the summer of love. You had a bad economy, drugs pouring across the border, supply chain issues, and you lost Senate seats. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow. Like in sports terms, sometimes you can't fire the whole team, so you fire the coach. And Ronna McDaniel's taking some heat, but who's going to take her gig? There's only one person so far that said, you know what? I'm volunteering. I want to run against Ronna McDaniel. And that person is the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, Nige.
Okay, I don't know if the MyPillow guy is the answer the Republicans are looking for.
Trump's endorsed him for that.
Oh, well,
so we got a ball game here.
I'm not sure moving forward after his little dinner how much that means either.
We're also hearing chatter that Lee Zeldin could be somebody that could take on Ronna McDaniel.
He's
not officially declared himself in the mix yet, but as of right now, we've got two candidates, Ronna McDaniel and Mike Lindell. And only one of them has been endorsed by Donald Trump, and it's not Ronna McDaniel.
You know, there is a reason why we're coming in with Billy Squire. It's the Hammer and Nigel show. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer, right over there. I'll explain it in just a few minutes. Tony Katz coming up a little bit after 5:30 for Tuesdays with Tony. The 50 worst decisions in music history, according to Rolling Stone. Hammer, have you seen that?
Did the Van Halen hiring of Sharon make the list?
Oh,
the guy from Extreme?
I love Gary Sharon. Great voice. And I love Extreme. Just not a good match for Van Halen.
No, not at all.
I don't think. So this is the 50 worst decisions in music history, according to Rolling Stone. Number one involves the Rolling Stones, the band. Remember, I saw this in the documentary. They hired the motorcycle club Hell's Angels to do security at their concert in 69 at
the Altamont.
Yeah. It resulted in a death of a fan who was stabbed by one of the members of the Hell's Angels.
Yeah,
not a good decision.
Not a good decision, no. Try to save a few bucks. I understand it, but not a good choice.
Jerry Lee Lewis, I think this pretty much goes without saying. This didn't even need to be on the list. We already knew this already. Jerry Lee Lewis marries his 13-year-old cousin. One of the 50 worst decisions in music history.
Imagine being, like, at the time, a big Jerry Lee Lewis fan. Oh, man, Great Balls of Fire. Love that song. Then you find out he marries his 13-year-old cousin. Oh, well, never mind.
That record company, Decca, passing on signing the Beatles in 1962.
These guys with their haircuts, they're not going to be anything.
Now, this one, again, this is from Rolling Stone, the 50 worst decisions in music history. This one pissed me off because I disagree. Eric Clapton goes, are these their words? That he goes all in on COVID vaccine conspiracies?
These are the words of Rolling Stone.
Okay, here's Eric Clapton.
Do you feel like you were made aware of those risks beforehand?
Oh, God, no. I lost the use of my hands for about 3 weeks. So I thought I was in real trouble. And that's about that point. I was invited by Robin Minotti to talk about it because it was easy to say yes, because I realized that I'm definitely, by then I realized I wasn't the only one that was suffering.
Yeah. So because Eric Clapton, guitar god, who makes his living with his hands, had the nerve to come out and say 2020 that the vaccine adversely affected him. That's a bad decision, according to Rolling Stone.
As soon as he got the vaccine, he lost his ability to move his hand, which is an important requirement for one of the great guitar players of all time.
And I love how back then, even now to some extent, you're not allowed to talk about, like, everybody and their mother could find an example of COVID killing a perfectly healthy individual back in 2020, right? You were allowed to post those headlines all day long. But if you found somebody that had an adverse reaction to the vaccine, or perhaps even worse, you weren't allowed to talk about that at all because, according to the Rolling Stone, it's a vaccine conspiracy theory.
And now the phrase you hear is unexpected death. Like, there's a lot of unexpected deaths now, but you're not allowed to say that it could possibly be vaccine related.
Number five on this list, Woodstock organizers celebrate the festival's 30th anniversary with the horrific riot that was Woodstock 99.
Did you watch that thing on Netflix?
Yes, it was fascinating.
You and I have different opinions on the role of the bands here. Like, I know Limp Bizkit's job is to get up there and rock ass and melt faces. Yeah, I get that.
Right.
But the stage was being torn down. People were tearing down scaffolding, and Fred Durst decides to go out there and crowd surf.
He was channeling the energy. That's what he was doing. He was channeling the energy and then sending it back out into the crowd.
Okay.
How about number six? Kanye West interrupts Taylor Swift at the Video Music Awards in 2009. Remember this?
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
It was a simpler time back then when Kanye West was just known for being an a-hole to Taylor Swift. Things have kind of changed since then, Nige.
But that's a sucky... I mean, go back to that moment for a second. What a sucky thing to do. What a just an awful thing. Let Taylor Swift have her moment, for God's sake. And this is in 2009. Who cares about Beyonce in her music video? Taylor Swift won, dude. And why are you Beyonce's spokesman?
It's not like you're going to hook up with her because she's already married to Jay-Z. So I don't know the motivation there, but that was about 2 or 3 years after the infamous George Bush doesn't care about black people line during the Katrina telethon.
Who was it?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers standing next to him, Dr. Evil, as they were raising money, just this blank look, blinking like a South Park character into the camera. Well, Kanye West said, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
One of the great improvisers of all time is Mike Myers, right. And he was Saturday left speechless.
Okay, do we have time for some more here? 50 worst decisions in music history, according to Rolling Stone. Blood, Sweat, and Tears going on a tour sponsored by the government during Vietnam.
Nothing says rock and roll like a tour sponsored by the government during war.
Ja Rule invests in the Fyre Festival. Have you seen that documentary?
Yes. Yeah, what a complete scam that was.
YouTube basically forcing Apple users to get their Songs of Innocence album for free. Did you remember that?
I checked my iTunes account. It's like, I didn't want this YouTube album, but here it is.
Like, I don't really, I guess I didn't care because it was free, but it was kind of creepy at the time. Like, hey, we're putting this on your phone, you're taking it, you don't have to listen to it, but here you go anyway.
You're welcome, we're you too. No.
Now, the reason we came in with the Billy Squire song, Rock Me Tonight, is because it is the music video that's on the top 10 of 50 worst decisions in music history. Billy Squier killing his career with that cheesy music video. It's the one where he's dancing around in his bedroom by himself, ripping off his pink shirt. It looks like
it's a pastel bedroom, first of all.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, literally hammered. It looks like the male version of Flashdance.
Right. That's a great way to break this down.
Except it's a dude, and it's really, don't get me wrong, I love Billy Squier.
The Stroke, one of the great songs of all time.
And
Everybody Wants You?
Yeah, but this video was just, it's him, the entire video. Like, how did anybody get him to agree to this? It's just him dancing around, and there's a stripper pole in his bedroom that he's swinging on. It's all right. Very awkward.
So what's a more least masculine video? This video from Billy Squier,
yeah,
or the Dancing in the Street video from David Bowie and Mick Jagger?
that is real bad.
Oh, man.
It's almost like, I don't know which came out first, but it's like this Billy Squier video was trying to imitate the scene in Footloose, where Kevin Bacon's character had that dance montage scene where he's getting out all the stress and dancing in the barn. And
angry dancing.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what inspired. I don't know which came first, though. That kind of, you know, watching this video reminded me of it. So real quick, before we get to Tuesdays with Tony, I wanted to play this audio for you here. This famous UFC fighter named Patty Pimblett.
I know Patty. Patty, you know the Batty.
Shut up. Is that really his nickname?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't know his dad. I've never heard of him, but he's famous in England, especially UFC fighter Patty Pimblett walking his dog in England. He rang somebody's doorbell cam asking to borrow water. Let's find out why.
Hello?
My dog's just had like a sloppy outside. I was just wondering if you got some water. I don't want to leave it outside.
That's part of the body.
It is.
Don't worry, I'll clean it.
You sure? I feel terrible. You know what I mean?
No, it's all right.
Thank you very much once again. I'm sorry about that. I hate doing stuff like that. That's why I knocked on.
Go on. I'll see you later. Ta-da.
I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would be in America to somebody ringing a doorbell, somebody famous. Like you know, it's hey, you know, it's Andrew Luck ringing your doorbell. Hey, my dog just took a crap in your yard. Can I borrow some water to clean it up?
Right.
Like that,
because he's kind of a big deal over there. He is one of those guys that Barstool endorses.
Okay.
So Patty the Batty is his like fight name, and he's got a big, you know, big fight coming up, I think, before the end of the year.
All right. Coming up next, Tuesdays with Tony Katz after a look at the news, 93 WIBC.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hey, Tony.
Pretty boy. Tony.
It's Tuesday with Tony Katz on the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Don't want to keep Tony waiting.
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here hooking up live with Tony Katz for Tuesdays with Tony. I think I heard on your show earlier, Tony, you were playing some clips of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He was outside the White House after a big meeting with Biden today. And what I saw, I was watching that same press conference. All the reporters wanted to ask him about was Trump's dinner with Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. Multiple questions about that. He condemned it. You know, Mike Pence has issued a statement saying Trump should apologize. How big of a deal was this dinner with, you know, an accused anti-Semite and a white nationalist for Donald Trump?
I think it's just, as I've discussed, an example of these. It's beyond unforced error. The Trump makes mistakes all the time. He doesn't hang around with the best people. He doesn't have the smartest people. That's all just not true. It's just a lie. To have had this dinner and not know who Nick Fuentes is, that's impossible. I'm saying it's impossible. And if he didn't know, and his staff didn't know, that's too much ignorance going on around you. My issue gets compounded, not in a way of defending Trump. I don't have any defense. I'm not even trying to put it out there. He should have left the dinner the second he knew who Nick Fuentes was. I have engaged a nuanced conversation about Kanye West. If you thought this guy was going down a bad path and you're a friend and you want to help him, you'll sit and you'll have dinner with a friend and say, I think what you're doing is wrong. I think you should turn yourself around. People do interventions. I've discussed this on video over at Rumble, rumble.com/Tony Katz. There could have been 100 reasons to have dinner with Kanye West. There was no reason for Nick Fuentes to be there. There was no reason for Trump to stay there. That's all on him. What I won't do, just really quickly here, what I refuse to do is to allow anybody to lecture to me about the bigotry and anti-Semitism of the political right when the left has Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Andre Carson. You're not allowed to be friends with Louis Farrakhan, defend Louis Farrakhan, refuse to condemn Louis Farrakhan, and then lecture to me about bigotry. Get out of here with that nonsense. The Jew-hating of Ilhan Omar, the anti-Israel approach of Rashida Tlaib, these people on the political left do not get to lecture. We do have to be honest when wrong is wrong, though.
Tony, it feels like ever since Donald Trump announced he was running again, it's been one negative story after the other, and it's not from the usual suspects. We're not talking about CNN or MSNBC. There's a lot of folks who voted for Donald Trump once or even twice in the past who have said, you know what? I think it's just time to go in a different direction. Are you seeing the same thing?
I have been seeing that from a lot of people. I just, you know, there's no way to know at this moment exactly how big that is. We are a year out from this race really beginning in earnest. The Trump announcement is not going to keep anybody from running. Certainly events like this embolden more people to run. So it's not going to keep anybody out of the game. There are going to be people looking in all sorts of directions, including in Trump's direction, because you never ever, at least I don't, confuse or make somehow not make the distinction between the person and the policies. You know, what Trump is doing personally is ridiculous. It's ignorant. It's foolhardy. It's dumb. It's a mistake. Yeah. He's wrong, and that's the end of the list. Trump's policies are better than Biden's policies every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So what I need are the policies, just with somebody who isn't making these ridiculous mistakes and engaging with really worthless people. That's what I need.
Do you think anybody could beat him in a GOP primary? Including
lots of people. Yes, of course.
Ron DeSantis included.
Ron DeSantis, yeah. I believe Ron DeSantis at this stage of the game can beat him in a primary. I absolutely do. I'm curious to see if Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, former CIA director, gets involved in this race. We're going to see what Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, does in this. Yes, I do think that there are people. If you argue that somehow Trump is not formidable, I think you sound like a damn fool. Trump's always formidable. But I think that, you know, the point that Hammer is making is the point that many people are making, which is the concept of exhaustion. I just want to win. All I want. Don't tell me about your personality. I don't give a good holy you know what about your personality. I just want my policies. I just want to win. And they will go where they think the win is.
Can the Republicans win with a group that I call the McFailures? That's Ronna McDaniel, that's Mitch McConnell, and that's Kevin McCarthy.
So, first of all, that's a good T-shirt. You might want to get that.
McFailures.
Get that done. We're about to find out. Mitch stays in at leadership. McCarthy, who you just heard from today, most probably be Speaker of the House. And I have seen nothing, no matter what Lindell is going to do, I've seen nothing that says that Ronna McDaniel won't be continue as head of the RNC. So we're going to find out, man.
Is Mike Lindell, I mean, does he have any credibility at all for that position?
In every garage and two MyPillows in every bed. That's his,
there it is.
That's his platform.
Damn right, there it is. Because it feels like, Tony, Republicans are really good at saying, well, we may need new leadership. They're really good at talking a big game. You've got guys like Matt Gaetz saying, I will not vote for Kevin McCarthy to be the Speaker of the House. But yet when the rubber meets the road, they always do. They pick the same people.
Yeah, and by the way, that's also true of the political left. It took everybody being near death for the Democratic Party and losing an election and losing the midterm for everybody to walk away, for Pelosi to walk away, for Hoyer to walk away. I think Clyburn's going to try and stick around. Something about, I don't know, the Lord has commanded him to. I have no idea what's going on there. But that's what it took. That's what it took. And if Hakeem Jeffries, the congressman from New York, becomes the Democratic leader, he'll be the Democratic leader until he's dead.
Tuesdays with Tony Katz here on the Hammer and Nigel Show. One of the other topics I heard you talking about on your show, we've mentioned it on ours, is these lockdown or these protests in China against the zero COVID lockdowns. Do you think, and the experts you've talked to, do they think that this will have any real lasting effects in China?
The hope is yes. I spoke to Steve Yates from the American First Policy Institute. His expertise on China is well known and well regarded, having worked national security for then Vice President Cheney as well. He's got a long history. And certainly there is a hopefulness that things like this act as massive destabilizers to the Communist Party. I do not believe we are at the place where the Chinese people really want to do away with communism, although I would love to be really proven wrong on that. What they want is the security, they want the money, and they want to be able to see a damn movie. It's the lockdowns that is the driving force here. The abuse of Xi Jinping. What's coming underneath that is this, what the hell is this third term nonsense? We don't want this president for life stuff. And that underneath where the lockdowns are, which is top line and huge and real, that thing underneath is what I'm staring at. That to me is more than just saying, let us out of our houses already. That's a discontent with the concept, right? The lockdowns is a discontent with the policy. The concept is to have a discontent with the Communist Party, and that could be far more treacherous.
And meanwhile, here on our end, it's put the Biden administration, the Biden White House, in a really interesting spot because they don't want to say anything negative to China. We have seen this time and time again. The Biden White House doesn't want to ruffle any feathers with China. So it seems like right now, when you listen to Karine Jean-Pierre's press conferences, they're more concerned about Elon Musk and Twitter than they are what's happening with China and their COVID lockdown protests at this point.
The statement from Joe Biden is cowardly at best. This is a moment to take China to task, to talk about how the world needs to treat its citizens, to talk about what it is to be free, to recognize that COVID is real, but you can't do this to people. And certainly this abuse cannot be tolerated. And clearly we have to question whether China is ready to join world leaders on a world stage as an equal. It's a time to humiliate Xi Jinping. It's a time to make people question working with him. Make sure that the dollar is the preferred currency of the globe. Make sure that people are buying from the United States when it comes to technological hardware and military hardware. This is a sales opportunity, for the love of God. And Joe Biden isn't smart enough to see it because he heard somewhere in the White House there was mint chocolate chip to be found, and the man's very busy.
Tuesdays with Tony Katz, and meanwhile you have China. Did you hear about this? They're flooding Twitter with porn posts to cover up the COVID protests.
Oh, yes. I think it's so great. I think it's so great that the Chinese are sending us porn to make us forget. But it's porn of Xi. It's all porn of Xi Jinping. And honestly, I don't know how many Winnie the Pooh makeups one could find hot.
And finally, before we let you go, Tony, staying on the topic of Twitter, the White House has said they're keeping an eye on Twitter. You have possible banning of the Twitter platform by Apple. What do you think of this mess?
I think that as we all are looking at it, keeping an eye on a private company makes you a bunch of creepy bastards.
It's very
it really
scary.
Does.
Very scary.
Preach. It's like how Jason Hammer looks outside his window every Christmas so he can scream, "Get off my lawn!"
Right. I'm peeping in like Joe Biden does with the kids on the inside. That's how
super
it works.
Super creepy photo. I thought that was photoshopped
I
at first.
Too.
What's coming up on the big shows tomorrow?
We're going to keep our eyes on what's going on in China for sure. And I have come across the best lawsuit in America right now, and I think I want to join it.
All right. Alrighty. He is on social media at Tony Katz, Facebook, Tony Katz Radio. TK, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
An entire hour of the Hammer and Nigel Show coming up after 6 o'clock. Hammer, was it you? You were telling me in the hallway something about this new potato diet. Potatoes all the time will actually make you lose weight. I somehow have difficulty buying this.
Now, who are we to argue with science?
Well, sure, yeah.
Right? When it comes to potatoes, I feel like I'm the Dr. Fauci of this discussion. Because I like French fries, I like curly fries, I like mashed potatoes.
Au gratin.
Loaded mashed, potatoes. Sure. There's this new study that says eating more potatoes could be a way to lose weight. Because people tend to eat a particular weight of food to feel full, and potatoes, they're both heavy, but they're also low in calories.
Okay. Does it say anything about heaps and scoops of sour cream and butter and salt on said potatoes?
You forgot the cheese and bacon bits, too. Not that I've now, put that on my potatoes in the regular.
I used to work a long time ago, when I was young, a teenager, and one of the guys I used to see in the shop every day ate a potato every day. And that got him through the day. He said he didn't really have dinner at night either. He was a healthy,
what type of potato did he eat? Just like grab it, eat it like an apple?
No, he would heat it. No. He would heat it up in the microwave and just let it go for 3.5 minutes, and then just to eat the whole thing. He wouldn't eat it like an apple. He'd cut it open and maybe pour some seasoning on it or something. But he was a really in shape, buff dude. I don't think you and I, if we're wanting to lose weight, maybe we should, I don't know if we should start with the all potato diet. Does that make sense to you? Maybe something else, like maybe a little running and exercise and exercise ink, and maybe not start with the potato diet.
Here's what we need to do for research. We need to go to Reno because they have the world's largest potato bar. They've talked about this in the movie Kingpin, where they're having the big bowling tournament.
That's right.
It's home of the world's largest potato bar. We totally have to make a road trip to Reno, the biggest little city in the world, home to the world's largest potato bar.
Does this only work with potatoes, by the way, this diet? Does it work with any other foods?
Well, this researcher says, quote, people tend to eat the same weight of food regardless of calorie content in order to feel full. By eating foods with heavier weight that are low in calories, you can easily reduce the number of calories you consume. That's good enough for me.
Let's do it.
Road trip to Reno. Get the potato bar rolling. Do not go anywhere. We got another hour to go. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.